This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Thank you, Kelly. All right, joining us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline is Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you? How was your trip to Ann Arbor?
Cold. It was... I think it was like 75 when I left and 35 when I arrived. But, you know, you cover the Mountain West, get used to those temperature changes. So just it was snow without elevation. That was the only difference.
What did you learn in that matchup between Michigan and San Diego State? San Diego State, I thought, hung tough for as long as they could, and it just seemed like they just kind of ran out of gas there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think we learned the value of Lamont Butler. You know, it's early in his sophomore season, and you know, I think he's been up and down a little bit, but I think you saw what he brings. I mean, Michigan did what anybody else would have done, and that's press Trey Pulliam, try to tire him out, and you know, when they got to that point in the second half where they made their run in the Aztecs and all those turnovers, couldn't even get the ball across half court. You just kept thinking, you know, that might not have happened with Lamont Butler, because the one thing he does is against a press, if he beats the initial guy, he just turns up field and goes downhill. He's like a running back. And that's how you beat a press. You attack it. And I think Trey was just so worn down. And not his fault. He played 38 minutes. But that he, you know, even if he got through the press, he couldn't attack it and take advantage of it on the back end.
Mark, let's go back a little bit to going to Michigan and what this all meant for the for Brian Dutcher and the ghost of Steve Fisher. What was the reception like there? Because we all know what happened. I mean, they took the banners down at Michigan, and the whole thing happened many years ago. And I know Brian Dutcher said that, you know, to him it wasn't going back to a building. It was going back to see a bunch of people, and it looked like he got a warm welcome. Has everything finally been all forgotten back there?
You know, yes and no. It's a really good question, and I thought a lot about it when I was there. You know, he did see a lot of people, and he was really a popular guy, as was Coach Fisher. And everyone I talked to said, oh, my gosh, we loved him. Even from the guys, I met some guys in a sports bar, some old Michigan fans, and they said, oh, we love Frieder, we love, you know, Fisher. And it took us a while to get to Beeline and have a good program again. And there's some bitterness that they were, you know, that Fish was let go. And so, yeah, I think the people were genuinely happy to see him. But have they gotten over it? I don't think Michigan has gotten over it. I don't think, you know, they know what to do with this, because you've got, you know, you've got the Fab Five. You've got two trips to the back-to-back trips to the national championship game. You've got a team that changed basketball forever in many ways, not just the fact they were freshmen, but their style and their attitudes and what they wore and how they carried themselves. You know, that changed college basketball to what it is today, and they won't acknowledge it. And it's just, it's sort of a bizarre thing. I mean, I think Michigan kind of has its opinion of itself that's a little bit higher and mightier than maybe it should be. And it isn't allowing it to sort of recognize what that team was and its value to the community and to its legacy as an institution. And it's too bad, but it's definitely still there. I mean, it's hard to look up in Chrysler Center and see six Final Four banners and not see the two most important ones.
Yeah, it seems self-inflicted at this point. I think they do have a high idea of themselves, and it would be warranted if they acknowledged those 2 years that were significant for him, but they don't, and I think it shows in how they carry themselves. I got to ask you this, Mark, because you mentioned that Lamont Butler, you saw how the Aztecs really missed him. Adam Seiko replaced him in the starting lineup. Do you think that is a permanent move moving forward, or will Dutch look to find who's the best fit while Butler's out?
Well, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more of Trey Pulliam playing 38 minutes. And it, you know, if you were to pick a month when he got hurt, if you had to say you're going to miss a key player for a month, this would be the month, because they're, you know, yes, the Michigan game was unfortunate, but there's only three other Division I games before the end of the month. And so I think that allows them to play Trey Pulliam as long as they possibly can in the game. There really isn't. I mean, they have to go to a walk-on to get to the next real point guard they have on the team. And so I think that's going to be the first quickest fix. Adam Seiko will play some point guard, but he's not a point guard, and we all know that. And that will get him back in his role of either coming off the bench or starting. I think he'll probably end up coming off the bench once Butler is fully healthy, as in a shooting role. And a defensive role, and that's what he is. He's a 3-and-D guy, and allows him to be what he is when you have Butler out there. But, you know, the interesting thing is Butler and Pulliam are two different types of point guards, just in the way they play and the style. And so it's nice to have that sort of change of pace when you need it. And against a press, you want a guy like Butler, and they don't have that right now.
They do have Matt Bradley, and I think, you know, he came with a lot of expectations, Mark, and you know, I don't know that maybe put a little too much pressure on himself at the beginning, or was just trying to kind of find his way in a new system. But the one thing that I saw in the game against Michigan was I saw the Matt Bradley I kind of expected to see, a guy that could fill it up, a guy that was a dangerous threat on offense. Didn't necessarily look like that in the previous four or five games. Is he starting to get more comfortable, and are we starting to see the real Matt Bradley now?
Yeah, and that's a key point. I really thought there was a little bit of a breakthrough in that game, because remember, I mean, they're playing Michigan on the road against big-time, you know, Big Ten defenders, and they couldn't defend him. He had 14 points in the first half, pretty much scored at will, and he probably should have tried to score more times. I mean, he's very conscious about being a good team player, coming in a new situation, and he's almost deferring too much. The other thing you can see a lot is he's what Dutch calls dancing with the ball. He's pounding the ball on the perimeter, looking for an opening, not really sure, well, should I take this shot, should I not, should I drive it, and thinking too much. And I think what we started to see in that game, we're still not anywhere close to what he's going to be in January and February, but we started to see him attack a little bit more and be a little bit more decisive quicker. And I went to practice yesterday, and he improved on that a little bit. And that's what they want to see. Yes, they want to see him in some ISOs, take his time, get his rhythm, dribble, do what he feels is best. But there's a lot of times we can catch and just shoot it, or catch and just go. And you're starting to see a little bit more of that. And that's when he gets really dangerous. And, you know, I keep saying it. He's going to have a 30-point game here, a 35-point game. And, you know, if it comes against a team like Michigan or St. Mary's, he's going to win the game for them. And they're kind of waiting for that. But remember, Malachi Flynn, I mean, he went six, seven games into his year, and he had the luxury of having to sit out and be in the system for a year as a redshirt. It still took him six or seven games to that second half against Iowa, where he really just went nuts and had, you know, 25, 28 points, and that was sort of his coming out party. So I think we're getting closer to seeing that for Matt Bradley. I think that first half was much closer to the Matt Bradley we're going to see in January, February, March.
Mark Ziegler joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, can you explain to us KenPom and this net rating? The net rating seemed like it was completely off. San Diego State came out with a 113. They're sixth in the Mountain West. Teams are ahead of them in the Mountain West, one being Wyoming. And then on the other side, you have the KenPom. The state moved up two spots to 43. Can you explain to us the difference, and maybe also explain the discrepancy in the net rating?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just writing something about that in my preview for tomorrow's game. The problem with the net is the NCAA's quote-unquote sorting tool, the metrics they use to sort of put teams into quadrants, you know, quadrant 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then you rate good wins are quadrant 1, and okay wins are quadrant 2, and bad losses are in quadrant 3 and 4. And that's just how they do it. And it usually at the end of the season is fairly close to KenPom. But the problem is this time of year, the sample size is too small. Take a team like Wyoming. They were 12th on Monday. They've already moved up to ninth. I mean, they played one team over 500 all year. They played nobody. And yet, but they've won all their games. And so the computer sees them as being pretty good. What Ken Pom does at this time of year is Ken Pom already understands that it would just, the ratings would be all over the map. So what he does is he takes previous data from players, wherever they played, whether they're with this team or with the previous team, and incorporates that in the data to get a truer sense of where a team really is. So Matt Bradley, his stats aren't just from this year, but they're from previous years to give him more of a baseline, like they would in baseball. You have a larger sample size, a better picture of a type of player in a team. So that's why. And so Ken Pom gradually drops that as the year goes on. And you get to the middle of January and it's completely gone. And those are the true rankings, where the net starts off right now with 8 games. Some teams have played 4 games. And it's all over the map. And so that's why you see a 70-point discrepancy for San Diego State. And a team like Wyoming is, you know, 80, 90 points in the opposite direction, maybe even 100 points different than what they are in Ken Pom. But it'll all even out as the season goes on. I wouldn't pay hardly any attention to the net right now. End of the season, yes, but right now I'd look at Ken Pom to get a better picture of where teams really are.
Mark Ziegler talking some college hoops with us. San Diego State gets Cal State Fullerton tomorrow evening as they continue to prepare for conference play. Speaking of which, Mark, Mountain West, you mentioned Wyoming's 8-0, but hasn't really had a test yet. Colorado State's 9-0. How does their 9-0 look? How does Fresno State's 7-1 look? I guess in general, how does the rest of the conference, is it playing out kind of the way we thought, or has there been any surprises?
Well, there's been surprises in the wrong way. I mean, Boise and Nevada have both been disasters and lost some really bad games and basically taking them out of NCAA contention for at-large berth right now. There's a hope that they would be pretty good. UNLV is melting down as we speak. They just got whooped at USF and had a screaming in the locker room and a 45-minute meeting afterwards, and 3 starters were benched, and so they're kind of a disaster right now. But Colorado State has held true to form. Everyone thought they'd be good. They basically returned the entire team, and they've lived up to it. They beat Creighton. They beat St. Mary's pretty handily. Those are their 2 marquee wins. The other 7 aren't that impressive. Fresno really hasn't played anybody. They're going to go to USF and play, and that should be a pretty good test for them. But they really haven't. Their one loss was their only game on the road, I believe, and so hard to judge them. They also have everybody back, and so they're going to be ahead of these teams that have a lot of transfers, trying to put a lot of pieces together, like San Diego State. Wyoming's been, you know, semi-impressive, but their best win is against Grand Canyon, so we don't know what they are yet. And it's going to be interesting when they get in the conference to see, because San Diego State's really been hardened. I mean, no one has done what they've done. They played at BYU. They played USC on a neutral. They played Georgetown on a neutral. They played Arizona State at home. Then they played at Michigan. They're going to be ready for the road, and they're going to be ready for the Mountain West. And that should be an advantage for them, as opposed to a team like Fresno State or Wyoming that really hasn't been tested yet. And you get into conference tough games, what happens down the stretch in those games, and, you know, hostile crowds and that type of thing. San Diego State should be much more prepared. But right now, I think it's a one-bid league. I think it's Colorado State and everybody else. And unless somebody else can step up and get a marquee win here and not have any bad losses, that's where we're headed again. Even though the league is much improved and it's a good league, it's Colorado State and everybody else.
Mark, I got to ask you this before we let you go. It's not a basketball question. I know how much of a soccer guy you are. I saw you posted Alex Morgan could be coming here to San Diego to play for the Wave. What's your take on that move and how big it is to get somebody like that here as the expansion team rolls out for their first season?
You know, they've done a really good job getting players so far. The expansion draft's coming up here in a couple weeks or next week. And what they've done is they've moved with a couple teams to sort of trade not to pick in the expansion draft from their roster. They can pass on that pick in exchange for getting a player now. And that's kind of what the Alex Morgan deal is going to be. You know, look, you want to get a face of the franchise. You've got to sell tickets. You've got to get some buzz. She's going to bring buzz. She's one of the most popular players in the world. She's also 32, hasn't been a great club player. She's been a very good national team player. And so, you know, what are they going to get on the field? I don't know. But I think if you're an expansion franchise, you don't really have a choice. You go and get the best, biggest names you can, and then you figure it out later. And with Alex Morgan, I think they've done that. And I think anything they get from her in the field is a bonus. But that'll help sell some tickets and drive some buzz about the team.
No doubt. Look forward to seeing that. Look forward to seeing this Aztec team start to pick it up and go in the right direction. Mark, as always, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
Great stuff, Mark.
That was Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. I agree a lot with what Mark said in terms of Aztecs and them being ready. I don't know that they could have played a tougher non-conference schedule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And considering a lot of those were neutral sites or on the road, they're well-tested at this point.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That should serve them well. But you've got to be well-tested, to compete in the Mountain West.
Nope,
because,
no,
I mean, you know, Bradley's a newcomer to this conference, right? I mean, they got transfers that haven't gone to Wyoming yet, played at 7,000 feet, you know, and gone up to Air Force and played an altitude, and Colorado State and played an altitude. So Utah State, I mean, New Mexico, the Mountain West presents so many great challenges.
Yeah.
And as Mark said, unfortunately, you know, the conference season might actually be a bit of a prelude as well, because if it's a one-bid league, then what does it come down to? It comes down to whoever wins the conference tournament.
That's
at
right.
the end.
That's right.
Right? So maybe that'll serve the Aztecs better this year, since this is a team that is still a work in progress.
The thing, I mean, really, especially now, it makes sense that this is a one bid league. If the Aztecs had, I think, fared a little bit better going into conference, you could argue that maybe at that point, because of their schedule, would be a two bid league. But
yeah,
you know, they've lost a couple tough ones, and it doesn't mean anything at this point. They're 5-3, but it does seem like Mountain West is resolved to having just one bid.
Don't have that
out.
Marquee win anywhere in the conference, according to Mark. And so without that, yeah, it's hard to get a second bid that way.
4 o'clock hour on the way. Chris versus the Fan. Plus, we got our biggest fan contest coming up, so you might want to keep your ears plugged in. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!